Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Monday, September 14th. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And we'll jump right into the week and right into this show with one of the conversations I most look forward to just about every other month, a full hour sit down with the director of the City of Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility, Diana Alarcon. We take calls, we talk everything transportation, specifically within the City of Tucson limits, and we have a good time doing it. Diana, with that said, happy Monday to you. Welcome on the air. How's it going?
Good. Happy Monday to you. I hope everyone's out there staying healthy and safe.
Yes, on this end, so far so good, and sounds like that's true for you. Boy, I sent over a laundry list of items that I have. I know our listeners here to Tipping Point always have some things on their mind they want to discuss. 790-2040 is the line they call in to queue up and ask any questions, or often just put some on your radar, Diana, that may or may not already be there, but it's always fun to be able to take notes, and then you often report the show after, hey, here's the progress we've made, so that's pretty cool. But I wanted to start off with just discussing what are the city's transportation priorities right now, and especially in light of COVID. Our second segment, I've got a couple items that were on the city council agenda last week that relate to your department. But just big picture, what are the city's transportation priorities right now in light of COVID?
Well, one of the things that we have kicked off is the Slow Street Initiative, which is allowing the streets to be used more as an extension of everybody's front porch, I like to call it, slow the streets down because a lot of us are at home, as well as our kids are at home. Everybody's doing virtual school. And so we need that open space to allow for playtime, to, you know, get out and run around, that pent up energy. So with Slow Street Initiative, we had received through the strategic plan, the mayor and council approved dollars to allow us to look at it. We actually received over 120 applications. Unfortunately, there's only 18 that we can choose to move forward at this time. And what that does is we go out, we put signs up, we actually walk it, and sort of gives us an opportunity with barricades to understand how you can slow the streets down so that people could actually be outside playing in the streets, walking in the streets, exercising in the streets. And so it's not just used for cars, it's used for all the different types of modes as well as activities. And we've had really great success. And then what it allows us to do is with the dollars we received as part of the CARES that mayor and council gave us, we're actually able to go out and then do some changes to the street that will add a little bit more of a permanent feel. So we test it out with barricades first. We do a walk and talk with the neighborhood to make sure it's working. And then we'll actually go into design and actually make some changes. So what's pretty exciting right now is not only do we get to actually walk and talk it, but we actually get to do the changes to the neighborhood. So we are doing 18 neighborhoods. The dollars have to be spent by December 30th because that's what the CARES dollars require. And then we plan on continuing Slow Streets after that. We just won't be able to do it at the heavy pace that we're doing it right now. But we're actually really excited about it. And we're excited because we got a great, you know, response from the community as well. So that's one of the big initiatives we have going on right now. We also kicked off our Downtown Links project. That is an RTA project that started August 24th. And if you're over off of 6, you'll see a lot of dirt being moved and asphalt being pulled up, so it's pretty exciting. But we do have some permanent closure, so it's affecting traffic flow, and I apologize for that. But 7th Avenue between 6th and 7th is a permanent closure at the moment and will be for an extended amount of time. We have to build a box culvert, so it's pretty intense to get it done. But we're going to be building a new overpass for the movement of the cars, which is going to allow us not have to stop for the railroads. So that's pretty exciting. We're also adding some pedestrian bicycle amenities along the avenue as well. We're improving the sidewalk, the drainage. There's a lot of great things. And of course, we're always adding the public art side to it. So, and then beginning today, 9th Avenue and Ash Avenue, between 6th and 5th will be closed as well for permanent closure for the future roadway alignment. So we're being really aggressive about it to get it done. It is a 30-month long project, and we plan on staying on time and as well as on budget. So that's pretty extensive as well. We're wrapping up our 12th Avenue project, which has been, you know, additional sidewalk, repairs, landscaping, also creating a complete street initiative. And that's wrapping up. And, you know, we were excited that we were able to get that project going and started when pretty much businesses were shut down. Otherwise, they would have been affected. So we were able to get some of that under the gun and save a little bit of that. And that was pretty exciting for us. And then, you know, just continue to move forward our Prop 101 projects and our Prop 407. Our commission, our mayor and our council, excuse me, actually just approved us to go out for additional bonding. So we're advancing some Prop 407 projects where we were going to actually only be doing it over the next year's project. We're actually advancing the first 3 years of projects. So we'll be getting a lot more out there and done over the next year. So I'm pretty excited about that, but it does put a lot of pressure on staff, but they can handle it. They're up to the challenge and they do a great job. So as you can see, we got quite a bit going on in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. And wanted to take this first segment with you. We've got you for four all hour just to kind of take a high level look at what's going on in the city of Tucson. And the Downtown Links project specifically has had kind of a start and stop to it a few years ago. Well, it feels like a few years ago. It's probably only, what, maybe a year, year and a half, maybe two. Initial, you know, bid numbers were returned back to the city. It was way over what the city was able to pay. And so you guys had to kind of go back to the drawing board on Downtown Links and restructure it. This is now what works. And here we go. It's so funny, Diane. I had somebody I was talking to on Facebook and said, boy, you know, related to the RTA, I'd love to have a project that cuts from Aviation Parkway to the I-10. That would be fantastic. And it was fun to go, here it is. It's going. RTA dollars at work. So, Diana, we're going to go to our first break on that note. When we come back, I want to leave plenty of time to talk about two items on the mayor and council agenda that may have an impact on your department or that you may be able to speak to. That would be some of the conversation around street art, but also the emerging climate action plan. What the mayor and council are very focused on climate emergency and climate change planning. How does that affect now and down the road the Department of Transportation? We're going to go there next, right after this first break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, we're back. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio for Tipping Point, this 9 to 10 a.m. hour, all hour. I started this way to kick the hour off. Always look forward to getting to sit down for an hour. Very generous amount of time with Diana Alarcon, the director of Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility. I wanted to use the second segment. We'll circle back to some of the big picture items Diana mentioned project-wise, but there were a couple of items on the mayor and council agenda, the study session agenda particularly, and then the full council agenda last week that may have some connection to our transportation strategy and department activity. Dan, I wanted to start real quick by circling back to something that happened a few months ago related to street murals and street art. My understanding is traditionally all those requests come through your department. Of course, the items in the news were the Black Lives Matter mural and then the requested permit for the Blue Line outside of TPD. It sounds like mayor and council are going to either firm up or make some changes to that policy. How does that affect your department? How does your department fit into all this going forward?
Well, I agree that we need to kind of firm up what the policy is going to be, and I'm excited and looking forward to that direction coming from mayor and council. But right now we are, because it's within the right of way, our main goal is really to make sure that if there is going to be some artwork in the right of way, that it's done safely and that it's not done where folks can get harmed. So that's really the bigger focus that we put our priority on. And of course, the messaging and what that message can be and how that can look, whether it'll just be art or whether it can be messaging, that's the policy we're looking to come from mayor and council to give us direction on. Personally, I think that there is so much asphalt in our city that it is, the asphalt can be a place for public art. But the reality is also the cost to maintain it can be rather expensive. So I think we need to be very practical about the ask when we're doing anything and within the right of way, especially on the asphalt. So if we're going to do artistic painting, and we've done that in several places, we've done it, you know, over on 7th and 6th. We've also done it on University Avenue and Stone. So there are some places we've done it in some roundabouts or traffic circles. There's some great opportunities to actually use that asphalt as for public art to create public place. But we also need to think about how we can maintain it. We can't be going around and putting paint everywhere, because reality is we can't go back and maintain it.
Sure.
So that's going to be part of the policy conversation I think we need to have too, is what is realistically manageable, because I'm all about using the asphalt for public art, but I also want it to be sustainable and
sure.
practical as well. So I'm looking forward to some of that guidance coming.
Yeah.
From our mayor and council. And I'm looking forward to continuing to work with the neighborhood on what artwork we can put in to create that public place.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think this conversation out in the community, I'll separate this from from your department anyway, has been interesting because on the technical side as staff, your department processes permits, but then there's also been this kind of discretionary policy conversation that the council's been having that you also have to follow. In the past, at least, what is the permit process look like? In other words, when you receive a permit or a permit request, what's been your criteria as a transportation department? And how might that change? Again, we're very close to the council meeting. I know you don't have full answers yet, but what has the process been on what you're able to say yes or no to? And how do you suspect that will change? We won't hold you to it, Diana.
Well, we get the application and we review it. Right now, the direction that we've received is that there will be no messaging in the right of way. Again, if you're doing something and it's to send a message, we'll actually decline it because that's the direction we've been given out of our city attorney's office. But if you're looking just to put a piece of art, we'll actually look at the reliability of it. Can it cause any accidents? So then we're just taking really a hard safety evaluation of it is what we're doing.
Gotcha.
So that's how we're kind of approaching it at this moment until we get further direction through mayor and council.
Gotcha. So nobody's going to be able to do any kind of messaging now for the near future at least. So if you're submitting a permit, it's going to probably, if it's on a street, have to go through the Department of Transportation Mobility. Not happening. So PSA right there. Switching over to another topic, Diana, unless there was anything else you wanted to add on that. But if not, the mayor and council last week declared a climate emergency, setting a goal of carbon neutrality by 2030 here in the city of Tucson. We've got about 6 minutes left. I think this is a conversation worth maybe continuing later if needed. But what impact does that kind of emerging climate action plan have on the Department of Transportation, how you think about how you do your job?
You know, I'm actually really excited about this approach. And I'm really excited about working with the mayor and the council offices on putting together this climate action plan. It'll actually help us with moving toward electrifying our fleet. That makes the most sustainable sense. It's going to help us with using clean energy, which I'm really excited about. Some of the latest technology out there is pretty exciting as well. It's going to, you know, already in our Complete Street initiative, we're adding in green infrastructure as the main lead when we're designing a street. So that'll be pretty exciting. So our rain harvesting, doing bioswales, you know, collecting those types of practices will be really exciting as we move forward. You know, I have to share, though, Tucson does a lot of that. So that is really great. It's just allowing us to put this at a higher level and heighten it and bring it more attention, which is going to make it even more exciting. And I think you're going to see more of it out there than what we've done in the past. We've been doing many green infrastructure projects throughout the city as we move forward, but this is going to allow us to really have it at that height and exposure to move more of it forward quickly. So that part is really exciting to me. And it just allows us to really, you know, think about as we move forward and get to that 2030 goal. It's going to, you know, allow us to have that more heartfelt conversation about creating those other modes and not just depending on a car. And if we are going to continue to be a very car-driven community, then we're focusing in on moving toward more clean energy cars. And that's pretty exciting for me. And so to me, transportation should be looked through the lens of sustainability. So I'm really excited to be able to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, Diana, about 3.5 minutes left, but I thought Kagan 9 last week summarized things really well. They say, according to the news release, what was passed last week, the declaration directs all city departments to align efforts with the Paris Agreement on combating climate change and the Green New Deal, directing all city departments to identify climate adaptation and mitigation strategies, so on and so forth, kind of what you said. In our remaining time here before we get cut off at the bottom of the hour, Diana, what are some of the efforts of the Paris Agreement or the Green New Deal that specifically your department may be asked to align around? Do you have an example or two of what that might look like going forward?
Well, I think on our transit side, that's a great example that kind of lines us up, and that is we are actually moving. Right now, we're piloting an electric bus, and you'll see that that's out on our frequency route right now. And we're testing that out, making sure the air condition can run in this heat. And so we're really excited about that. We were also successful in getting two grants from the FTA, the No Low Emission Grant, which is getting us an additional 9 electric buses. And so it's moving away from, you know, our diesel buses to electric buses. We have partnered with TEP in this. They're actually coming in and building the infrastructure for us for these electric buses. So that's part of the Paris and the New Green Deal and moving us toward that 2030 goal that the mayor and council has now established for us. We're also looking at, do we really need these big buses? Are we carrying this many people? Can we change to a smaller bus? And how can we do that? How can we take that fleet and move it over to electric buses or to clean energy for movement? So those are some of the things that we're already in the process of doing that's going to be taking us there. And on the other side is also EV chargers. Since we want to encourage, clean energy and electrifying vehicles, we need to be able to provide the EV chargers. So we're looking at where we can place those EV chargers throughout our city so that folks would have access to them and be able to use them. So those are some of the things that we're already moving on and really excited about. They're already in the works and we were able to add. But by mayor and council taking this step, it's putting it up there and it's making it very focus-driven that allows us to maybe be moving things a little bit quicker, expedited than we had been doing in the past. So it's really an exciting time.
Diane, I always appreciate your willingness to cover a breadth of topics and the way that you get into detail. I really appreciate it. I know our listeners do too. As we go to our bottom of the hour break, get those phones out if you want to give Diane a call, 790-2040. Bring up an issue, ask a question, get something on her and her team's radar. When we come back, I want to kind of stick to some of the same theme, Diane. The RTA Next process is in full swing. There's a lot of good things the department has been doing around data collection and hearing from the community. I want to talk about how RTA Next and the City of Tucson's Department of Transportation are connecting and collaborating. And one of those non-car projects that I also want to get your thoughts on is the modern streetcar and the impact we're seeing on public transportation right now. And how do we make that an effective medium of travel? That and so much more. We have Diana to the balance of the hour. We're just basically getting started. We'll be back here in the 1030 The Voice studios for part two of our Tipping Point conversation with Diana Alarcon. Don't go away.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, we're back. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio from our bottom of the hour news break. We are getting ready here for part two of our conversation. We have just about every other month with Diana Alarcon, the director of the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Give us a call, 790-2040. If there's anything that gets our listeners calling in, it's transportation in Tucson. And I'd say also this next topic, Diana, the RTA Next process. It's still, I think, 5 or 6 years away, the renewal of the Regional Transportation Authority, or not. It is up to the voters. But we're already starting to plan for it in the community. It's a regional transportation strategy and funding mechanism. How is the City of Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility thinking about this process already, working with regional partners on the planning, engaging the community, so on and so forth?
As you're well aware of, I think I've shared in the past, we actually have Move Tucson, which is ongoing right now in our community. And we've been actually working with our community to understand how they envision their transportation to move forward in the next 25 years. So we've been collecting a lot of this data, a lot of this community outreach. COVID was a bit of a challenge for us, so we had to move to virtual outreach. But the team has been really great about getting out, and we've had to come up with some creative virtual meetings and practices to be able to reach to the community to understand what it is they want and get a good understanding of how the community wants us to approach. We're putting that all together right now, and we had committed to get that to RTA for RTA Next by the end of November, and we're on target for that. And so it's looking at those regional initiatives that our community has shared with us over the past 6 months about what they would like to see in the next 25 years for their RTA Next initiative. So we're really looking forward to pulling that together and getting excited. We do plan on taking that to our council, to our mayor and council, for a review prior to turning it over to RTA Next to make sure that we've captured everything that our council also envisioned and kind of share with them what our neighbors and our community has shared with us over the past months on what they envision. So it's been a really hard but exciting time for staff as we pulled that together and for our consultants to get that all pulled together. But and yes, there is an extension of the streetcar that's going to be part of the RTA Next. But again, we got to take all of this through the mayor and council and have them approve it, and then we'll be turning that over. So as we move forward, I can share more with you, Zach, on sure. What we're looking at of having this part of RTA Next. We're just pulling all of that plan together right now. We closed our survey to the community a month ago, so we're pulling all that information to capture that into this conversation.
So I have two questions stemming from that, both RTA related. One is about the current streetcar line, but before I get there, I know that different jurisdictions within our metro region have different thoughts. I think it's mostly positive, but you know, it's not monolithic, the view towards the Regional Transportation Authority. Has the RTA delivered for the City of Tucson specifically, Diana? If you had to judge its productivity and effectiveness, has it done what the voters asked for it to do within the City of Tucson?
I do believe it has, but you have to remember a bulk of our projects that were listed in the RTA list from that was approved in 2006 are being built at the end of the 20 years. So I think it'll be really important for the RTA Next that we have our projects spread out throughout the year, not all built in the end. So we're just actually getting to a lot of our projects. So So what voters approved back in 2006, which is almost 15 years ago, they're like, well, I don't know if we really need that. This was based on this data, but this data doesn't say that. So, you know, we are asking for some recommendation to have some flexibility in the next RTA so that there can be adjustments, because land use changes, development changes. And when you have that, then you can sort of change your transportation, because your transportation should be in line with the land use that's being built and developed around that. So that's been a lot of the conversation. And our move to Tucson is, if the community is saying they want this particular type of transportation initiative, then the land use should look like this. So we're tying that all together in our move to Tucson. So we're also looking for that to be part of the conversation in RTA next. But I think now we're getting to the point where, yes, we are delivering what RTA from 2006, but so many of our projects are toward the end. So we're doing it in the last 5 years. And our community is saying, well, you know, a lot of things has changed. We haven't had as much, increase in vehicular volume. Now with COVID and the fact that we can all think different about how we do business, we don't all have to be in the same room. We can do it by the computer. We can have Zoom meetings. We can have Teams meetings. We can do all these Connect meetings versus getting face-to-face. I mean, even right now, you and I are having this great conversation, and I'm in another place than you. So we don't always have to be face-to-face to do things, and that's affecting our traffic volume. So we can think about redesigning our roads a little bit different than what we initially all thought 20 years ago, simply because the traffic volumes are not there.
Right.
And now people are predicting it's going to even change more, where we're going to see even more of a decline. So it'll be more about, we're going to use our vehicles more for a service than for a work.
We're talking with Diana Alarcon, the director of Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility. Maybe our last topic here before we go to our last break, Diana, I can't believe how fast the time goes, but related to the streetcar, and you brought up the RTA and land use and how we think about how we plan and how transportation happens. Some people may not be aware that the bulk of the funding for the streetcar actually came from federal dollars and RTA dollars. The city of Tucson was a minority partner in that, in terms of the money contributed, that was not predominantly the city of Tucson taxpayer. But, you know, I live about a 5-minute walk from the streetcar, Diana. I never see that having more than two or three people. I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's spurred on a lot of good small business in the downtown area. But there's a detachment from downtown residents to downtown to the university. It's about a 4-mile route. Before it expands even further, what are the missing pieces, Diana? You came into your position. One of the things I really was excited about was how you viewed the connection between planning and transportation. What's the missing link there that would make the streetcar a viable mode of multimodal transportation that we're not quite seeing yet?
It's going to be how we connect it to those key workplaces. So there's, you know, understanding you, a great conversation to have on the streetcar is, for example, I have had conversations about the opportunity of connecting Long Campbell and Keno Parkway. And so connecting the bridges, going out to the north side River Road, so that you can connect, have those bookends with Banner and also with the University of Arizona Tech Park. So connecting to those key workforce places is really going to be what's going to help drive the continued use of the streetcar. Please note that with COVID, transit is down, but that's throughout the nation.
Sure.
We're not the only city experiencing that. But then right now, I feel like that gives us an opportunity to think different about transit. So the streetcar, we have one piece, and it's a loop. And we need to think about those connections. And those connections are really key. So whether it's Campbell, Broadway, to me, the next connection really needs to be down to the airport and how we connect. Yeah. The city's making a huge investment with the Rio Nuevo and the convention center. So we really need to think about how we can get people that are going to be using the convention center with the, because now that we're putting the hotels in that area and we're adding more meeting space, we can attract some bigger conventions. Well, we need to be connecting to the airport so that folks can get on the streetcar or the light rail, whatever it is we deem to build, and get downtown quickly.
Right.
That's going to also help spur it and how that all connects. And so to me, that's a really essential, important piece. That's the next important piece. We were successful in getting a TOD grant, which is a transit-oriented development grant from the FTA. It was a $2 million grant. We're getting about $1 million from the FTA and then $1 million in contribution and also dollars that we're investing into it. That's allowing us to do this planning grant to look at that extension down to the airport. But it also goes all the way up to the north side of town, up to the Tucson Mall, the Tahnahoe Transit Center, and how that all connects and that use. And to me, that's really key. There's a lot of workforce along that. And that convention center plays a really important piece in how it connects to the airport. And so we feel that's very essential to continue the growth from a multimodal perspective for the city of Tucson.
Yeah, Diana, I love how you explain that. I think that's how often I communicate it on the air is I think the streetcar has done some good things. It's a start. And if we're having this conversation in 10, 15 years, then we need to start talking about, was this successful or not? Maybe it's even less time. It's got to expand, connect workforce with places of work with a certain level of density and a certain level of transit-oriented development. I think all four of those things are still missing, but I wouldn't give up on the streetcar. I'm talking to the people of our fine community. Wouldn't give up on it just yet. Let's do this. We've got a couple of callers, Diana. We're right at a break. Let's go take our final break, and then we'll end the hour with phone calls and listener comments and questions. Looks like we've got Al on. We've got Kurt on. If you both can hang on, we will not rush through your calls if we can wait till the end or to the next segment. John, let's do that. Let's go to our last break of the hour here with Diana Alarcon, the director of Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility. Listener calls and questions coming up next.
Listen to the live stream and find podcasts of your favorite shows at kvoi.com.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info. whyloverewhereilive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to whyloverewhereilive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
And we're back, wrapping up our hour here, Tipping Point this morning, with Tucson's Director of Transportation and Mobility, Diana Alarcon. We're talking everything and anything transportation. Let's go to our phone lines and get Kurt in on the conversation. Kurt, thanks for calling in with a comment and or question for Diana. You're on the air.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call, Zach. Director Alarcon, I appreciate the conversation about the big picture related to City of Tucson transportation system. I think that's all good. But I have a question that's about a little thing, and in some respects it sort of relates to the bigger picture. I don't live in Tucson. I live outside the city limits on the northwest side of the metro area. But what I find frustrating oftentimes driving in the city, especially at night, and I guess it would be at night, is the fact that your illuminated street signs that hang from your traffic signal poles are not lighted. And to me, that reflects on the bigger picture. It makes me wonder if the city can even afford to turn on those lights on those street signs. And if so, if you can't do the little things right, then how are we going to do the big things right?
Kurt, thanks for calling in. Diana, go for it. And we'll keep Kurt on in case you have anything you want to ask Diana.
Yeah, so Kurt, you could help us with that. Sometimes we're just not aware of it. So there's a way to let us know when you see a street light out so that we can send staff out and get it fixed. And one way to do that is through an email. You can send it to us at t.concerns@tucsonaz.gov, or you can call it in at 520-791-3154. So we do want to get out and get those fixed so they're illuminated. If they are damaged and we can't get them replaced, because unfortunately some of them are now failing because of age and it requires a total rework of the intersection, and we have to program that through our capital improvement plan to get that done. But we do change out the signs so that they're reflective so that you can see them in the evening. But I will tell you, most of it is we're just not aware of it. So help us out. We're always asking for the community to be an extra set of eyes out there, because we don't see everything and we're not aware of everything. Again, t.concerns@tucsonaz.gov or 520-791-3154. And thank you for that. And if you know what street that is, let us know, please, because we'll get out there and take a quick look at it.
Kurt, thanks for your call, and Diana, thanks for that. And obviously, this was not planned, because we never quite know what call's coming in. So what I'm going to say next is unplanned, but I do want to encourage our Tucson community that I, for the first time, used that email a few weeks ago. Diana, I had heard a boom outside of my house, and someone had run over a street sign, a stop sign. And so I went out there, took a picture, sent it to you guys, and it was fixed very quickly. And so I want to encourage people that when you say, take a picture and email us, you actually mean that, and you actually fix it when you get it. So that's not just a bureaucratic invite, Diana. You actually do it. And that's from personal experience. So thank you guys for fixing my problem so quickly.
Yeah, especially when they come to a safety item, those take priority over everything. To me is a safety item, but there are high priority safety items. So
for
stop
sure.
sign, illumination, those things are really, I consider top safety. And like I said, a lot of times we're just not aware of it. And we ask the community to help us become aware of it so we can get it done.
Definitely. And that call actually, Diana, led into the last thing I was hoping to get to. And we can take maybe one or two more calls if anyone wants to call in. But traffic demand management, we've talked about it on the shows together before. But I think similarly, when Metro drivers start to get into Tucson, start to feel like traffic gets bogged down, maybe the lights aren't all coordinated the way they could be. Your department's working with the University of Arizona, I believe, on a kind of a traffic demand management system, kind of some smart cities concepts. Give us an update on your work on that area.
So we are actually had great partnership with the University of Arizona, and you know, a shout out to Dr. Wu and his staff over there and the students that have really put a lot of time in, and we've actually are looking at a leading lag initiative that we're going to be doing along Speedway that will help move the traffic flow, we think, quicker in a safe manner. Again, it's really about, we do want to be able to get people moving efficiently, but we also want to make sure that they're moving safe. So we're in the process of going to be kicking that off over the next few months, and hopefully have that all in place before the end of the year, and that will start feeling some of the difference in how you move along Speedway. And of course, down on Ajo, we're actually putting in adaptive signalization, which is going to allow us to actually look at moving traffic based on real time. Mm. And that's really kind of the vision of where we're going, what we'd like to do with for the whole city. It would require us changing out every intersection, and that would require a significant amount of money. And we feel like that's really a great opportunity for the RTA next, is to look at that, improving that efficiency through traffic signalization. Right now, most of our traffic signals run on a time sequence, right. And that can get very frustrating. You can be stuck at an intersection at a red light. You know no cars are coming, and that's where you see people running a red light. That's where people get hurt. So we're running our traffic signal on adaptive signalization, which is based on real time. Then you're not going to be sitting there that long. It's going to be based on how many cars are in the queue, and the signals are going to coordinate constantly together.
So cool.
So, so we're actually going to be, we have that going out to bid. We'll be making a selection and then actually building that in along Ajo Way. So we're really excited about testing that intersection. And then we'd like to do it along Oracle. We think that that would be another great corridor to add the adaptive signalization as well. So as these dollars are come up and we can find it, we put them into play, because we feel that traffic efficiencies could be built there first before we look at needing to build roads. Sure. There are some areas within the city, I just want to add real quick, if I could, Zach, that we do need to build capacity or widen the roads. You know, we have a lot of, and you're absolutely right, it goes back to that land use, back to that development where you have that need based on density. And we have some areas in the city where we need to build that capacity because it's only two lanes of street. And, you know, the east side is a great example of that. There's a lot, you know, that was one time was, didn't have as many development pieces out there, but now it does. So we do need to look at building capacity out there, because no matter how much we improve the traffic signals, we know we're still not going to have enough capacity. So it's, again, about finding that balance. But we know there's a lot of efficiency and capacity growth that we can do just through the traffic signal, especially in our already built out areas within the city. And then we need to really be realistic about building out on the east side more roadways, because the growth is happening out there.
Got it.
So it is a balance, and that's what we're really focusing on.
You mentioned this is one other plug to keep communicating with your department and RTA Next, but I was interested to find out, you mentioned RTA Next, so I will bring it up as well, that back in 2005, 2006, what was not on the voters' minds when they were communicating with the RTA Next, at least those who were communicating, or RTA, at least those who were communicating with the RTA, was road maintenance. And so many people go, why does the RTA only do new projects? Well, that's because what the voters asked for. That's what they voted on. And so there's actually a push, Diana, if I'm correct, to build in road maintenance dollars into RTA Next to make sure that we're keeping up our current roads. That would be a welcome addition, I would say, as well. And I'm sure that that would help you sleep a couple hours extra a night, right?
Yes, it would. You know, I think I shared one time when we a few months back that I need about, you know, just on our local roads over $650 million. if we want to look at the local and arterial roads, we need about $1.1 billion to actually bring our roads up to a decent OCI standard. And then once you do that, there is a maintenance cost in order to get, you know, another 25 to 30 years out of them. And you need to kind of build that. So we are building into our ask in our next RTA some road maintenance dollars. It will be more for the regional roads than the local roads. But we are planning on making that ask because it is very necessary. And it's one of the things that we haven't done a good job in the past, and that is building in dollars for road maintenance. And it's expensive. I don't think people realize, but, you know, we need about a $12 million annual budget for road maintenance throughout the city.
Wow.
And we operate on about a $2.1 million budget.
Diana, as always, I enjoy so much this hour just chatting with you and your team a few times a year. Thank you for your time this morning. People know how to get a hold of you in the department. And thank you for answering all the questions that you have and for the work that you do in the city.
You're welcome. Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Always. That wraps up our conversation this morning with Diana Alarcon, Tucson's Department of Transportation and Mobility Director. We will be back same time, same place on Tuesday, so don't go anywhere, Tucson. Thanks for listening. Thanks for chatting. Listen to the podcast if you missed anything, a wide-ranging hour related to Tucson's transportation. We'll be back. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. Stay safe and stay healthy out there, Tucson. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.